Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Cruise Control. You're with your hosts, Jay Cruz and Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, say what's up to the people.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Cruise Control. I'm so happy that you guys could join us tonight. I mean, we're ready to do another show. Hope you guys are excited because I think it's going to be a good one. So let's get into it, Jay. What we got for the people today?
All right. So the topics we got for you guys today is couples who have sex once a week are happiest, and we'll explain why. Ezra Miller's Flash, how it's going to be different from Grant Gustin's Flash in the hit CW TV show. And if you were born with a set date to die, would your life be different? So let's get it popping. I want to start off with Ezra Miller's Flash and how it will be different. Let's get it started off with some, you know, some super speed, you know what I'm saying? First off, I just want to say, as you guys know, we all love, well, not we all, but me and my brother love the hit TV show on the CW, The Flash. I think Grant Gustin does an amazing job, and it's one of the better superhero shows on TV right now. So, with that being said, I don't know if you guys remember or even heard of this, but in the first season of The Flash, they had mind-boggling numbers. The premiere did great. And then that's when DC decided to announce Ezra Miller playing The Flash. Now, it wasn't taken. Fans were iffy about it. They didn't know if they would like him so much. And then Stephen Amell had a problem with the setting or whatever that, you know, Grant Gustin just pretty much premiered and he had record-blowing numbers, and then DC wants to already announce who's playing the new Flash, and it's Ezra Miller. So with that being said, Ezra Miller is pretty much, he's excited about the film, and he's describing how he thinks the Flash is going to be different. And from the sounds of it, it looks like he's aiming to bring it a little darker and have a more flawed and edge to the speedster that he's playing. Now, it hasn't really been confirmed who he's playing, whether it's Barry Allen, Wally West, or anything like that, but he is playing the Scarlet Speedster, and this is the comments that he had to say. Well, first, it's going to be a movie. I'd like for it to be an exploration of human being, a multidimensional human being, to speak. I just made such a pun without meaning to. I'd like the character to have many dimensions, but really, I'd like him to have the usual dimensions we know and love, and then some extra ones that are part of the amazing consideration of this superhero. I hope to realize him as a person, and I think what's most exciting for me in the superhero mythologies is when we feel the humanity of someone who is heroic, or the heroism of, or the heroism of someone who is flawed, deeply human person. So it looks like he's pretty much trying to bring out the darker side and the more emotion of the character. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm going to start off by saying, you know, I might be a little presumptuous, but I do believe that everyone loves the CW show The Flash and the way Grant Gustin plays him, or at least portrays that incarnation of Barry Allen. Now, Ezra Miller, you know, he was selected. When he was selected, I was one of the people that didn't necessarily approve or like the casting choice. However, I'm at least open enough to let him to see the film before I judge his performance. Now, I don't know how he's going to do it. Apparently, he's going for a multiple character, like a different type of Flash. I guess a darker, edgier Flash. You know, that's how our heroes are in the films nowadays. I mean, you got the Man of Steel, you got the Dark Knight, all of who are darker characters. I mean, and now we're going to get a Dark Flash. So that's going to be something new to see. Now, I just want to see how he plays him. I thought Ezra Miller was a little too young to play the Flash. I mean, I've only ever seen him in The Perks of Being a Wallflower, so I don't know if he can portray any of the Flash, you know, whether it's Wally West, Barry Allen, Bart Allen. I mean, he could play young Bart Allen. That'd be cool. But I assume he's going to be playing Barry Allen or Wally West. Well, those are the two main Flash, you know, Flashes used in the DC Universe in the film and shows recently anyway. So I want to see what he does, what he says he's going for. Let's see if he can get it. I hope he does a good job because I've been waiting for a Flash to be portrayed in a film for a long time, especially now that our CGI and all of our film, like,
special
movie
effects.
Magic is, yeah, special effects is a lot better. So, oh, I've been waiting for the Flash to come. I hope he's really good. And I'm a state of mind that I like the darker, edgier characters. So if he does a good job portraying him, but making him darker and edgier, but without losing what makes Flash the Flash. And I know you get that, because what makes Flash the Flash is that
he's one of the more lighthearted
people
characters.
Person. Yeah, he's a lighthearted character. He's a people person. He tries to get along. He tries to bring the humor when there is none to release the tension. So it's like, you know, being a hero doesn't have to be dark. And he's that type of hero, and that's what he brings to being a superhero. So I hope he still, like, keeps that magic with him when he portrays a darker version of him. And that's all I'm hoping for. And I hope Ezra Miller does a good job.
Yeah, I mean, I know Ezra Miller does more of, like, character development movies, like in Persevering and Wallflower. He played one of the gay best friends to the main character. And, you know, the things he had to go through in his life or whatever. And, you know, having a boyfriend who wasn't out of the, what that did to his psyche and, you know, how it affected him. Which he did a good job in showing the emotion and showing the complexity to that character. So I think he'll bring out the character side of the speedster that he's playing. Like he said, he wants to. He wants to, you know, develop that character and show how a hero can be emotional and be complex and have multi sides to him instead of just being a goody two-shoes hero, you know? He wants to show the diversity to the character that he's going to play. So I think it'll be pretty interesting to see. But in all, I want to see the lightheartedness of the Flash that, you know, the Flash is a lighthearted character. And don't get me wrong, he does have his serious moments. But he's ultimately a lighthearted character that brings jokes and, you know, pretty much keeps everyone upbeat within the Justice League, because ultimately this is going to lead to the Justice League. So I hope they keep that in mind when they do character development for the Flash or whichever speedster he's playing.
Yeah, I just want to end this particular topic with saying that every hero is multifaceted. I mean, every actor is going to play a character differently, but the way they play them, the way he's going to, I hope he thinks that he's a character first rather than a superhero, because that's going to bring out the Flash more and his incarnation of the Flash. So where he plays him like, yeah, he's a superhero, but not only is he a superhero, he's a person, he's a superhero, he has to blend that in, and his personality is made off of his experiences and all of that. So I hope he plays him well like that, and just keeps that in mind when he tries to portray him.
Exactly. So moving on to our next topic, guys, we're going to be talking about, if you were born with a set date to die, would your life be different? What would you do differently? So the reason I bring this up, guys, is because I was watching an anime not too long ago. It's called Plastic Memories. That's what it was called, guys. Plastic Memories. And it brought up the interesting topic of, pretty much the point of the show is, exactly, a predetermined lifespan. There's androids that were created that have like a soul pretty much and their own memories and their own wills. And then they all have a set predetermined lifespan of when that will end and a set amount of hours. And the main character falls in love with an android and, you know, the android ends up dying in the end, spoiler alert, because of the set date that it was set. So if that happened in real life and you knew when you were going to die, you had a set date from the time you were born, you knew this was how much life you had to live, what would you do differently? I want to start with you.
Well, I mean, all that you can do. I mean, like now, no one knows when their time is up. I mean, we all assume that we're going to have a lot of time. Some end up having more times than others, but that's why people like to say it's harder, it's easier said than done. But that's why people like to say you have to live day by day and take every day as if that's the only day you're ever going to get. And that's essentially how you have to live your life. I don't know if necessarily I do it that way. I'm more of a person, I think of, oh, what'll happen tomorrow if I do this, or I'd rather, you know, just do it like this. That's more my style and my speed. But if I had a predetermined lifespan, let's say I knew for a fact I was only going to live for the next, like, 3 years or so, I don't know how I would go about doing that. I guess I would come up with a list and try to get everything off that list. Maybe go to a place I've always wanted to go. Maybe get into a meaningful relationship. You know, different things. You know, things that maybe you always wanted to do that maybe you couldn't do, or that you think you always had all this time to do. Get it out the way, and just I would come to grips with that's how much time I have. You know, because I think that'll be probably like the biggest factor. Is you think you have a lot of time, but when it comes down to the wire, then it's gonna creep up on you and probably overwhelm you. And that's why when you know that, at least now you can try your best to get mentally prepared for it, and that's it. But you shouldn't worry about it and let it, like, you know, devour you. And you just, you know, you live each day to its fullest, and that's it. That's all I got. What about you, Jay?
Now, that's a crazy idea, to be born and as soon as you're born told how much time you have to live. That's a crazy concept, and if that happened, I think I would actually be, like, a little depressed at first, saying, like, this is all the time I got. But once you wrap your head around that and you accept it, then you can start to say, all right, I know how much time I got. Let me do things that I want to do. But then you also got the fact that when you're happy, and that's probably the time where it's going to be over for you, when you're the happiest. Like, if you start a relationship and then at the end you know this is as long as it could possibly last. Is that fair to your significant other, the person that you end up getting with, because this is the time frame that you got with them? That's a little sad and a sad concept to bear with, but I would go, like you said, probably get a bucket list and do everything on my list. I mean, but that should be what everyone's doing, even when they don't know how much time they have, because, you know, life is crazy and anything can happen. So you just got to live life to the fullest and do things even without knowing how much time you got. But if you did know, that just gives you more of a push to say, hey, why be scared? You only got so many wonderful memories that you can make. So, I mean, go do it. But, like, the point that I brought up about, would that be fair to a significant other? Would you even get a relationship if you thought that was the case, Chris?
I mean, I would, but you have to be fair, I guess, to the other person. And I mean, fair to yourself. If you realize that, you know, it may, why limit yourself though? It may be you get hurt, but that's the point of living, you know, to fall in love, to meet people. Personally, my philosophy on life is the whole point of life is to affect other people and be affected by people. So falling in love might be the most important of all of that. So I think maybe if you are limited on time, maybe that's the greatest experience you could have. Probably, I don't know, personal opinion. So I say go for it, even if it's not the amount of time that you wanted, because even falling in love for a day and being with that person for a day could change your life, or maybe be the most passionate, beautiful love you've ever had. Who knows? I don't know, but you know, it's better than not falling in love at all or not giving the relationship a chance at all.
Yeah,
and
yes,
what I just said
thing.
Is beautiful. I'm a poet.
I know. You're a master of words.
I am a wordsmith. Thank you very much.
Yes, you are awesome and amazing.
I will now be charging a dollar for all of my thoughts.
Okay, no one really cares. So, guys, we have reached the halfway point of our show. We would like to, you know, thank you for listening to the first half of Cruise Control. We're going to go to a quick commercial break and then be back right after this. So stay tuned, guys. See you soon.
Interested in being a sports writer or a lifestyle writer for Miami Sports and Lifestyle? Or how about being that next great radio personality? Hit up at 305 Sports and Life on Twitter for more information.
Interested in advertising or sponsoring with MSL? Working for MSL as a writer? Even having your own radio show? Or do you have more of a business mind and want to bring your talents down here to South Beach? That's right. MSL has a big-ass help on to sign up. Writers, radio personalities, marketing directors, website managers, positions are open. Apply today and make this money. Miami Sports and Lifestyle, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a campaign underway. Let's give Miami the exposure that it deserves via Miami Sports and Lifestyle. MSL to ESPN. Love it, know it, support it.
Attention Miami, MSL is looking for writers for the Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, Florida Panthers, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida International University Panthers. If you are interested, contact Stephen Ur at Stephen_Ur@yahoo.com for details. Join the MSL team today.
We at MSL have a new blog site underway, miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSL blog for all your content surrounding Miami sports. Official site coming soon.
This is Andrew Powell, host of the Andrew Powell Show and CEO, founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. As you all know, I talk about marijuana a lot on my show. I do consider myself an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. And why? Because this is a medicine that helps so many different diseases, including cancer, and if it were legalized, it could eventually form a cure for cancer. And we've all been affected by cancer before with family members. We need to legalize medicine because not only does it help out cancer, but it helps out so many different diseases. So many. We need to legalize cures. And not only that, but legalizing marijuana would decrease black market control and crime and increase tax revenue to give this country's economy a boost. And we all know we need that. This is a beautiful plant that should have never been made illegal in the first place. But because of racism, lies, and greed over the almighty dollar, it's now illegal. And patients and peaceful marijuana smokers suffer everywhere, even in 2015. We need to legalize medicine. We need to legalize peace. Let's legalize marijuana 2015.
The views expressed by Andrew Powell are of Andrew Powell and Andrew Powell alone, and not the company and staff of Miami Sports and Lifestyle.
The Andrew Powell Show brings you a fresh sports talk show that stands out above the rest. Tune in Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m., only on MSL Radio.
Play Action Sports League. They are signing up teams for the end of summer adult flag football leagues. You can either go Wednesday nights under the lights at Armbrister Park in Coconut Grove, or you can go Saturday mornings at Coral Gables High School. Does your team have what it takes to be a champion? For more info, you could go to www.playactionsports.org, or you could call 305-397-5632. Once again, that is www.playactionsports.org, or you could call 305-397-5632. 5632.
Join TrueConvos.com, the Redskins social network, a place where fans can voice their feelings about the team freely and meet others who feel the same way. Be a part of something big and join TrueConvos today.
FanDuel has definitely changed my Sundays. It's made it a lot more interesting.
Join over 1.1 million people who've already won money in FanDuel's one-week fantasy football league.
More and more people are starting to find out that this is the way to play.
FanDuel's paying out $75 million a week with immediate cash payouts and no season-long commitment.
And you can see the number of points you're scoring going up and up and up.
You kind of start pacing back and forth.
It's like the best adrenaline rush ever.
Just choose a league, pick your team, and get your cash winnings after Monday night.
You can find a $1, $5, $10, $25 contest.
Try it. It takes a few minutes. You'll have a blast.
FanDuel has more winners and more payouts than any other site.
I've deposited a total of $35 on FanDuel and won over $2 million.
They're the leader. They have the most options, the most players, most winning.
Try FanDuel today. We'll match your first deposit up to $200. Love it or your money back guaranteed.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL Radio.
Welcome back to Cruise Control, guys. You just been from commercial break. You listened to the first half of our show not too long ago. Welcome back to the second half. Chris, please say what's up to the people.
Hey, people. You know, I say this every time. It seems too long. Can't wait to get back to you guys. But we're back now from where we left off. The first half was crazy good. Let's just recap real quick. So we ended up talking about, you know, if you knew how long you would live for, what would you do? What would you do different? And we also talked about The Flash, Ezra Miller, how we think he should portray him, how he says he's going to portray him, you know, everything flashy. So, Jay, now we're into our third topic. What are we talking about? Let's get into it.
So, guys, for decades, pretty much self-help books and therapists pretty much have advised couples that the key to a successful relationship is sex, lots of it, money, pretty much. However, a new study suggests that the happiest partners are only having sex once a week. According to the University of Toronto, more frequent attempts to have sex will not boost satisfaction or well-being. People often think that more money and more sex equal more happiness, but this is only true up to a point. Dr. Amy Moise at University of Toronto. The study was based on questionnaires filled in by 33,000 Americans over more than 30 years. She says, I think the take-home message is that, in general, it is important to maintain a sexual connection with a romantic partner, but it is also important to have realistic expectations for one's sex life. Given that many couples are busy with work and family responsibilities, our research suggests for that having more frequent sex in a relationship is associated with greater happiness, but this is only true up to once a week. Having sex more frequently is no longer associated with greater well-being. So, pretty much, guys, for all of you who think that, oh, man, the more me and my significant other have sex, the happier we're going to be, apparently this survey or, you know, thing says that it's no longer the case. What do you think about that?
Well, I never thought more sex equaled more happiness. I mean, to me, that never actually crossed my mind. It's always about finding a balance. You know, obviously, you need a physical connection, which will deepen the bond you have with one another. But the bond starts with, you know, an emotional connection. So to build that bond, I think you need a synergistic, you know, type of relationship because you need both of them. So I've always been of the state of mind where you need both a physical connection and emotional connection to make any relationship last.
Yeah, absolutely correct, and that's pretty much what they say in the survey that they conducted. But, you know, there was a while, people were saying that, because I even heard it, that the more you have sex, pretty much it equals out to happiness, and apparently that's not the case. Just if you have a frequent sex life, you know, once a week is just fine. As long as you keep the relationship, you know, spicy and healthy with, you know, still dates and romance or whatever, that's probably when you will be the happiest. And that's what I got from the article that I read in the survey that I saw here, is that, yeah, having sex is good and it keeps a healthy relationship, but once a week is fine enough just to, you know, for you guys to be happy. And so far the results show that once a week is when couples are the happiest. The ones who have sex all the time doesn't necessarily equate to happiness.
I mean, yeah, I see that. Obviously, I think you just need to find a healthy balance. Once a week, maybe twice a week. I don't know, however, you know, whatever, because every couple is different. So I feel like whatever is good enough for them, as long as they can fit all of their priorities in line, then it's fine.
Yeah, you know, there was a survey that they completed that also stated that more sex made people more makes people happier than a higher income did. So, you know, sex, I guess, does equate to happiness, but the more sex you have doesn't equate to happiness, if that makes sense. That's what they did with this survey. I mean, you know, they do surveys for everything, guys, and run tests for everything. So it's just another thing that they wanted to check out and see what equals out to what. So apparently sex makes people happier than money, but it doesn't, the more sex you have doesn't necessarily mean you'll be happier than people who have less sex than you as a couple. So that's pretty much what the survey was. And I just found it interesting because forever I've been hearing, hey, you know, me and my girl have sex all the time, we're happy. But, yeah, that doesn't equate to happiness. So couples who seem the happiest have sex once a week. So if you're going to be happy, guys, that means you have to have sex once a week. No, I'm just kidding. But I thought it was pretty interesting.
I mean, you know, people, how people say the world revolves around sex and money, so I can see why people are you know, out to get both of them.
Exactly. But I personally think, guys, happiness can be whatever you make of it. As long as you're leading a fulfilling life and you're doing what you want to do, then I think that equals out to happiness. I don't think necessarily you have to have sex to be happy. You have to make money to be happy, anything like that. As long as you're doing what you want to do, whatever makes you happy with your hobbies, with what you do as a career, you know, anything fulfilling to you, I think that's how you can lead to happiness. Or, you know, just follow your dreams, follow what you want to do, you know, and I think that'll equal out to happiness. Not just, you know, the physical pleasures or the idea of you being a boss or however you guys want to put it. But just doing what you want to do, I think that's what equals out happiness, and that's just my opinion.
Personally, my, you know, just to kind of end this point, I want to say that my view on how to keep a relationship, I guess, going is freshness. I mean, no matter what relationship you're in, if you keep doing the same things, you fall into a routine, you fall into a rut. That's why you try to do new things, try to keep things fresh so the relationship feels new and exciting to you even 10 years down the road. And then you can continue to build that bond, continue to be physically, you know, and emotionally attracted to one another so you can have sex and have a long relationship.
Exactly. And, you know, I just wanted to bring up, guys, I saw an interesting article that, you know, made me sad and happy at the same time. It's stated that an 8-year-old with cancer hopes to enjoy his final days with his true love by his side, a 7-year-old classmate. They just wanted to be together. So even though they're young, you know, he wanted to enjoy his final days with the girl that he likes and has a crush on by his side, which I found adorable. They went on a bowling date together, which was their first date. Isn't that adorable and cute?
See, that's cute. And that's what I was talking about. Where, you know, you fall in love even when your time's about to end. You see how everything just comes full circle? You even brought it back up. But, yeah, I think that's really cute. You, regardless of age, I mean, if that's what he wanted, I'm glad he was able to spend time with her then.
Exactly. He's not letting the pain of his cancer stop him from spending time with the love of his short life. So, you know, the best wishes go out to him. Apparently, I don't know if he's going to make it. They said he's not going to, so he's spending the last moments of his life with the person he loves, and look at that. I'm sure that brings him happiness. So I just wanted to tie that in with the topic that we were talking about. So, guys, that pretty much wraps up our show. It's finally come to the end of our show. We want to thank you for listening to Cruise Control. We hope you enjoyed it. If you had any or you like the topics we talked about, feel free to share with us on Twitter at JC Films and at Christian Cruise 66. So, guys, we'll be back tomorrow from 11 to 11:30. Chris, go ahead and close us out.
All right, guys. Just like Jay said, we want to thank you for joining us on Cruise Control. It's been another great episode. As always, we'll be back tomorrow from 11:30. So, see you soon, guys. Don't go anywhere. Good night. Now, shut up and drive.